live and re-recorded. This is the Red Tape Blues Podcast. I am Brian Lovey. This is being recorded on December 4th, 2017. How are you? 21 shopping days left. If you got your ugly sweater for the party, Jim and Sally are going to be there. Be ready. Ugh. My wife and I were just driving by. There's still the East Coast in us here. We're driving by just a few hours ago, and we saw this like car go by, and it had like the Rudolph the Red Nose on front of the car and the antlers on the top. My wife just, are you fucking kidding me? And I just look at him just like, please drive off a cliff. I mean, what compels someone to do that unless you're a soccer mom? Outside of that, please, just rethink everything. Just like the Giants are doing, which we'll jump into. Remember, you can listen to the show on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Google Play, YouTube. Follow me on Twitter, at BrianBuck13 and at RedTicketBlues. Remember to leave a review, okay? It's important. iTunes, Stitcher, leave a review. And, you know, I beg, and I will continue to beg. I got a good review the other day here. It says, you want hard-hitting analysis? The subject, the best in the business. You want hard-hitting analysis? You want the hottest it takes? You want inside jokes that only 8 of us get? Subscribe today, people. That's what I'm talking about. 5 stars. Now, some of you guys don't have the creative juices to come up with that. 5 stars, I will gladly take that as well. Gladly take that as well. So today, like I said, Monday, December 4th, 2017, the New York Giants, who in the past week or so, week and a half, have looked like the New York Mets. Let's be honest. Complete disarray. No one knows what the fuck is going on. I mean, it reminds me, remember them when they were trading? Who's the dude that cried? Jesus, I can't remember. The shortstop. They were going to trade him, and they didn't trade him. Or even going back to the whole the Adam Rubin and Jesus Christ, I can't remember the GM's name. What was his name? You know what I'm saying? What the hell is Minaya? Omar Minaya. There we go. I was about to pause it and look up the name. Omar Minaya, that whole press conference fiasco. Like, that's what the New York Giants, and the New York Giants are classy. They're classy. We know that. We know how classy they are. They're probably the classiest organization. You know what's funny about the Giants, though? Outside of the Josh Brown stuff, you know, where they hired a guy who was beating the shit out of his wife and just said, hey, don't do that again. Cut it out, like a wrestling referee. Cut it out or we're going to be stern again. Until those reports come out, and then we have no choice to do it. But they actually, outside of that, they are like the classy organization. The Yankees can claim to be classy, but they're completely, look at the way they handle the whole A-Rod bullshit. You know, oh, we're going to take your bonus away because you did steroids, which we know you were doing in the first place. But the Giants are classy, but they're not anymore. They have lacked class in this entire fiasco. I think that's the third time I've said fiasco. Second or third, but we'll just keep in track. Write it down. Put the 1-1. There we go. A few more. Put the line through it. There we go. All right, so the New York Giants today made a big move. They relieved head coach Ben McAdoo of his duties, and Jerry Reese, GM, who just heard John Mara on WFAN, has been with New York in some capacity, in some role, the New York Giants since 1994. So it is rough saying goodbye to somebody like that. Ben McAdoo, I don't know how long he's been there, but in years with assistant coach as well. But I think it was time. And you saw the writing on the wall, obviously. The season sucked. The guy, I've never seen such pomposity and arrogance out of a coach that has accomplished zero. I mean, he brought the team to the playoffs, yes. They laid an egg. Mr. Odell Beckham didn't help. Who will get to? The center of the universe in his mind is him at all times. The world could be on fire, and he would be tweeting, being like, yeah, people aren't even asking me why it's on fire. That guy will never get it, which we'll get to. But the arrogance he has, the way he speaks to the media, and I know the media can be sniveling little pieces of shit. I get that. But the way he talks to people, as if he has it all figured, he talks as if he's Belichick. You know, that he has all these championship rings. The way he talks like a complete asshole and completely, you know, belittling people down to the lowest common denominator. And now he's gone. Now I could sit here, you know, and make fun of his hair, like Michael Rapaport. You know, he should fire your barber. Oh. Once again, for the record, Michael Rapaport sucks. However, I will say, I heard him on the WEI morning show the other day. His rants suck, but when you actually hear him talk, he sometimes makes some decent, valid points. It's the rants are so, they appeal to the biggest mouth breathers on the planet. So, Ben McAdoo, obviously you could tell the Eli thing was not good. You know, the whole thing, way they handled that was not good. And then there was the contradiction of what the owner was saying that he was saying, and it was just a bad look. And Jerry Reese, after some really, I mean, he's been living off those Super Bowls, much like Eli Manning, but, you know, he never had a lot of bad drafts, and Now where's the team? You know, interim coach Steve Spagnuolo takes over. And this is the thing with, like, fans, too. And I get it. Like, I've been there, too. Not many when you root for the UConn Huskies and the New York Yankees. I mean, you're not really rooting for the manager to be fired that often because there's just so many championships. Get the fuck off your pedestal, Brian. You didn't do anything other than sit on your couch with your hand on your pants watching TV. Give me a break. But that's my team. But here you have the Giants. You know, where was I saying? The fans. I mean, you want these guys. Yeah, fire him. Now what do you have? You have a team of just... And now they're going to start Eli. I mean, okay, all right. I mean, And I feel bad for Eli in a certain sense. I said this on Twitter. He's like a pawn in a PR relations nightmare, the New York Giants. You have the guy who... Well, let's just go over it again. You know, two amazing runs in the Super Bowl, in the playoffs. Very good career. You know, forced a trade when he was a rookie, you know. Fake memorabilia, possibly. Outside of that, I think he's a nice guy. I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know if there's a lot of substance there. If you had a conversation with him, I don't know how far it would go. He seems like one of those people where, like, they'll completely answer your questions, but they're not really a big topic starter. Even if he wasn't Eli Manning, if he was just Joe Schmo whittling a stick on the side of the road in Mississippi there. I mean, it's just sort of like, But Eli will be starting next week. And you heard the rumor that ex-Giants were going to wear the Eli jersey if he didn't start next week in New York. Like, that's... Talk about, you know, we're talking about classy. That's pathetic. Imagine Scott Brosia sitting behind, like, the Yankee dugout if they, like, bench Derek Jeter. Like, that is the most bitch pansy thing I've ever heard. And you hear a lot of the Giant fans being like, absolutely. Thank you. Show respect. Oh, God. Grow a sack. Jesus. Oh, it's easy to say that as a man, huh? Oh, yeah, I guess. Whatever. But what do you have now? I mean, then Geno Smith, obviously, was garbage, as we know. Eli sat there. The whole thing, I guess, listen, the whole thing has been an absolute disaster. And I say, what do the fans expect now? You have a team that's now 2-10 with Eli starting. Ooh, wow. Great way to end the season. But I guess, you know, you got to take baby steps before you can start running. Is that an analogy? That might be an analogy you can start. You have to walk before you run. Yeah, no. I'm sure someone said that before. I can't take credit and put my hat on that one. But here you are. You have the Giants. Yeah, again, you got to make baby steps, whatever. But that's that. I mean, but this will go down as one of the most... And then you had John Mara, though. Like, 3 weeks ago, I said, there's no reason to make a change. There's no reason to make a change whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, they made a change. Somebody asked him in the press conference today, oh, I changed my mind. Beautiful answer. I changed my mind. Oh, okay. I mean, a lot of people did not think that McAdoo would be gone, including our old friend who's going to be departing us from WFAN, that being Mike Francesa, courtesy here of Mr. formerly Funtime back after this, Funhouse, who, if you don't know Funhouse, he records everything that Mike Francesa says to look for errors. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. You think the Giants would fire the coach? In you know nothing about the Giants.
You think
this is like Monopoly or it's fantasy? This guy is a guy they just signed to a contract.
Do people not make mistakes in the ministry? They don't make mistakes.
He won 11 games his first year, and now you're firing him in the second year. I mean, see, it just shows. Sometimes I'm amazed at how little you guys understand what's going on.
Oh, and of course, we said goodbye to Mr. McAdoo. We're going to miss Mike. He, it's amazing here. I said this on Twitter, too. We are at the end of his tenure, 30 years. He's been on a long time. And one of his targets, usually, is the New York Jets and how completely out of control they are. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't know their ass from their elbow. They don't know shit from Shiloh. Can't walk and chew gum at the same time. And he was praising them yesterday about their front office and how nice they treated him. Well, if it involves him, then it may change. The team is playing much better than expected. Still, I mean, they're not a playoff team, but most likely not a playoff team. But, you know, they treated him and his kids well yesterday at MetLife. So, obviously, the whole table's flipped, turned upside down. And the Giants are disarray. Like, that's how we're going to go out. Mike shitting on the Giants and praising the Jets. No one could have expected that. Not one person in the world could have expected that. But back to who I brought up earlier. Mr. Odell Beckham. Now, Mr. Beckham, is a generation. We have to do the disclaimer. He's a generational athlete. He was a once in a lifetime talent. He's really got what it takes. He's the best. He's a franchise player. He's also an enormous asshole. Now, if you're a long time listener of the Red Ticket Blues, you know that I have not a big fan of Odell Beckham. Not a fan at all. So he's out for the season. Something with his knee, I believe. Which, hey, if you're going to pick a year to be out for the season, I don't think he picked to destroy his knee. But if you're going to pick a year to be out, this would be the one. Because even when he was healthy and Brandon Marshall was healthy, they were still 0-5. And then the wheels came off. But here you have, he's inserting himself. Now, you have the franchise in its most decaying state in over 40 years. You have a head coach that, at the time of these tweets from Mr. Beckham, is still a coach, but still the rumors swirling around as they're going to pull out the chair from underneath him. And you have the probably the most popular, would you say the most popular player in franchise history? I think you might. Most popular quarterback. Sorry, Sims and Hostetler. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, I'm sorry. Sorry, Dave Brown. But you have him being benched for the first time in his career, missing a game. And what do? You insert yourself into an argument that has, into an incident in the Patriots and Bills game that has nothing to do with you. So what I'm referring to is Tom Brady, who we'll have some sound here in a little bit. Tom Brady got into a little bit of a shouting match, which he is known to do with Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. Is he the offensive coordinator or is he the quarterback's coach? He's the offensive coordinator. And, you know, screaming, picked up by the video. You've seen it before. He did it with Bill O'Brien. And Beckham, you know, decides, well, if that was me, I mean, I'll paraphrase. I'm not going to read every one of his dopey tweets. But, you know, if that were me, oh, I wonder what the reaction would be. Oh, okay. Oh, he's the goat. I'm just acting like I'm just following his behavior. Huh? Oh, I'm the victim. Huh? So then people can say dumb things and then he could say, I'm the victim. Like that, it's the straw man argument. No one was thinking about Odell Beckham and Tom Brady. He says, look at that. People say it's different. Then he goes, oh, it's different because it's me. It's classic Odell. He is a guy that will never get it. I'm sorry. He is never going to get it. That was part of the, you could see, and Francesa says it all the time. You know, I just played a clip making fun of Mike Francesa, but he said it all the time. This team, because never disciplined into Odell Beckham, that was a starting point of how Ben McAdoo is going to run the show at the New York Giants. Taking shots at Eli all the time. But Odell, because he's young, has amazing talent that some of us have never seen. Remember the catch against the Cowboys? I mean, he will let him do whatever he wants, whatever the fuck he desires. And that set a precedent. You see this team, the personnel decisions, you know, the what players would do on a daily basis, the disciplinary actions or disciplinary, just the actual behavior of the players. It sets a precedent when you let the star player do whatever the fuck he wants. And you don't win. That's also another issue. You don't come up big in playoff games. You got Tom Brady, who, listen, if he was Joe Schmo right there, you know, bitching and moaning like that, I'd say, yeah, that's an issue. But I'll tell you, guys who win get away with it. You know, Michael Jordan got away with it. You know, guys who are raving maniacs who win championships, they get away with it. Now, Tom Brady was on WEI's Kirk and Callahan this morning, and they asked him about that that whole incident with Josh McDaniels on the sideline.
Good. I guess we'll ask the first question before we get to the Gronkowski stuff. About the argument with McDaniels, is that unusual? Was it just about the not seeing Gronkowski over the middle there? What was the fight about?
It's just, you know, just one of those things. It's, you know, it's football, so
yeah,
you know, it's a lot of emotions, and sometimes they boil over. So I apologize, and we moved on.
So it was all your fault? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, yeah, I wish I'd have done some things differently.
It's funny, like, if you did that with Belichick, it'd be the biggest story in the world. But you've done it with coordinators before, and it's almost like you guys are friends. We know you're a huge
Jerry Callahan, the biggest Brady sycophant in the world. But there's also the way you handle it afterwards, too. You have, you know, Tom Brady, who obviously acted like a child on the sidelines, comes out and says, yeah, it was a misunderstanding. No, he didn't take complete blame, obviously. But, you know, think about when Beckham does something dumb and his response to it. Granted, Brady's older. Think about all the championships, and maybe the way he acts does result in winning with Tom Brady. Now, there were others, as obviously, we're going to go to the underlying belly of it. We're going to go to the 800-pound elephant in the room, And if we're going to go there, you know who we have to be with. That's Mr. Stephen A. Smith, and there's a racial component to it. Now, I have never actually, to find this clip, I watched more First Take. It's a 6-minute clip, which I will not make you listen to. I listened to the whole thing, and I don't need any part of that show in my life. So they bring on, it's usually Max, and none of them are in studio, which it's quite a show. They're all, they only have like the host, the eye candy there. She's the only one there. The rest of them, they're all fucking somewhere else. Great show. But Stephen A. Smith now has a, I don't know, sort of a hype man in Donovan McNabb to just basically echo everything he says. So, of course, we'll listen to a little snippet here of, you know, Stephen A lot of times he won't just blatantly say the racial component of it. He will dance around it until you come out with it and say, hey, I didn't say that. You said that. But let's listen to a little of Mr. Stephen A. Smith.
Is the inconsistency of Joe or Susie Public out there who would be quick to denigrate a black athlete if he was on the sideline acting that way. He'd be cited for insubordination. He would be perceived as being completely out of control, temper tantrum. Maybe he has some anger management issues and needs to take a course or something along those lines. But when Tom Brady does it, well, that's Tom Brady.
I'll say this, you know, if someone like Jay Cutler, like a loser like Jay Cutler, or even, I'll even say, I don't call him a winner, but he's won a Super Bowl, and Joe Flacco, yes, he's a loser too. But if either of them acted like that and didn't get criticism from the media, I'd be with Stephen A. Smith. I would. You know, if Cam Newton had 5 championships on his resume, acted like that and got criticism, I'd be with him too. But I mean, I don't know if that clip, I mean, you have Cam Newton, who acts like this on a daily basis. Not a daily basis. That's not fair. Acts like this at times. It's also the fact that look how he's handled adversity. Look how he's handled when things don't go his way. He's a baby. He's a crybaby. Now, I don't want to sit here and like have to, you know, I hate glorifying and fucking being a hype man for Tom Brady. But I mean, at least listen to that answer before. I mean, he took some ownership over it. Would Cam Newton do that? I hate to bring it. You brought it up, Stephen A., not me. No, I wouldn't do that. But I mean, if you want to do it that way, I mean, I'm with you. If it's Jay Cutler or Andy Dalton or some other scrub, you know, I'd say, okay, you know, they deserve to be criticized. Don't criticize Jameis Winston for that and not Andy Dalton. I'm sorry, neither of them have accomplished shit. So that's where I'm with you. And the Gronkowski hit, I think I've done more football in this podcast than I've maybe done the entire year. Because, you know, I haven't really been watching the games. I've been sitting out because of the kneeling. I was for the kneeling. I was against the kneeling. I was against the concussions. I was against the poor play. You know, so many things. I mean, I am just an all-star hero. I take every cause of why you're not watching the NFL, and I sprinkle it all over my fucking head to tell me how great I am, and pat myself on the back and say, I don't watch football. Soon I'm getting rid of my television after that point. I mean, that's the equivalent in sports of I don't have a television. I don't have cable. I just watch Netflix all day long. Well, you're still watching television, you idiot. But the Gronkowski hit, Rob Gronkowski, who I will say, there is a bit of a double standard in that sense. You know, Gronk gets this reputation. He's fun-loving. Oh, he's so silly. Oh, he just loves the ladies. Oh, he's so quirky. That's Gronk being Gronk. Takes a disgustingly cheap shot at whoever that was. Disgusting cheap shot at whoever that guy was. I mean, that he should have been thrown out of the game. He should be suspended. He should be fined without pay for that. Now, we'll go back to that. They asked Tom Brady, he's so goddamn polished. He's like Jeter. You're not going to get anything out of him. Derek Jeter, another scumbag who we'll get into. He's so polished, he's not going to say anything bad. So here's Tom Brady when being asked about Rob Gronkowski's hit.
For the hit on White, did you see the hit on White?
I saw it on TV. I didn't see it, you know, at the time.
What did you think?
You know, I mean, obviously it's unnecessary roughness, and he got the penalty for it. You know. Yeah.
I mean, Brady's a robot at this point. I mean, he's not going to give you anything interesting. Anything funny is just going to be like, ha, 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 you know, it's like when your grandmother tells a joke. It's not going to be anything of actual real substance. So that's that. So that is the NFL right now. I didn't watch any other games. You have the Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl favorites, get smacked last night by the Seahawks. I did not watch one second of it, but I did see the box score. So I got that going for me. So let's move on to another subject. You know, let's jump into baseball for a second here, because I mentioned Derek Jeter. Let's jump into the New York Yankees. Well, before we get breaking news here, Bleacher Report, LiAngelo Ball won't return to UCLA after LaVar Ball pulls him from school amid suspension for shoplifting in China. I wonder what the end game is there. Why is he taking him out of school? Now I see people saying he did. Oh, okay. People making fake memes underneath it with like quotes, and then people responding to it being like, he didn't say that. It's just like, boy, you are so dense. You're so stupid. I think I'd have to mention him at least once a podcast, and that being the great Simon Yonkers has a little game he likes to play where he becomes John Heyman and puts out erroneous reports and see who falls for them. It is amazing how stupid people are. They're just like, I'd like to see a source on that. Oh, really? Giancarlo Stanton and Derek Jeter got into an actual, you know, physical altercation. I'd like to see some sort of substantial report from that. I was like, I'm reading it right here. That's not real. It's like, boy, nothing gets past you, man. Boy, you just dominated three-card Monty, huh? Jesus Christ. The New York Yankees are, let's see, what are they doing? I'm sorry. Oh, yes, they have a new manager. So they, to replace Joe Girardi, the squad, they had six people, narrowed down to three of Hensley, Bam Bam Mullins, Carlos Beltran, and Aaron Boone. He's the one that won. Jesus, can't remember that one. So then it was narrowed down to two. You had Bam Bam Mullins and Aaron Boone. I thought Mullins was going to get it. He has coaching experience. Now, Twitter is a terrible example of people who think they know anything about managing. And sometimes I contribute to it, and I'll tell you how much I know about managing. Absolutely zero. I will pretend as if I know something about like situational pitching, but really, I mean, we're all slaves to the numbers anyways. I mean, so if anything works out in baseball and they go against the numbers, it's, look, they're a former player. Listen, they have the experience. They know the face of the game. They know what's going on. So I was a little confused. I thought Mullins would get it. He's put in his time. He's managed. He managed the Dutch team in the WBC. And Beltran would have been nice. I mean, you know, he played in both teams in New York. Maybe he could put up to the pressure. Francesco brought up a great point. He doesn't speak. He never says anything. He's just a statue. Like, I mean, he's a mute statue, which I don't know how many statues actually talk, but a mute statue. So, I mean, maybe down the line, if he gets some experience, I don't know. I thought it would be Mullins. And you have Boone, who has no experience whatsoever, who, again, I will beat this drum forever. And when he makes all these terrible decisions, which every manager does, I don't care if you're fucking Miller Huggins, you're going to make a bad decision at a certain point. Thinks that baseball games should have ties. I know I'm obsessed with this. I understand, but I find that to be offensive. I find it to be ridiculous. I find it to be absurd. You get the point. Etc. 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 No, he has absolutely no experience other than sitting in a booth and sitting in the Baseball Tonight studios. So, it's weird. I didn't think the Yankees would be one of those teams to get a guy with no experience. I mean, it's not the first time it's been done. But this seems to be the wave of the future. It seems like in basketball and baseball, football, not so much. Football, you have to still put in your dues like hardcore. You know, who would retire? That Eli's not going to retire and become a head coach tomorrow, you know, on a team next year. It just doesn't work that way in football. There's too many moving parts. Oh, yeah, Brian, you just know it all. Listen, Francis and I came up in the same system. You just don't understand. None of you fucking will. So back off. But Aaron Boone, I wonder if Aaron Boone would actually be considered, and I know it's so simplistic and so dumb, I wonder if Aaron Boone would be considered for this job if he struck out in the 11th inning of Game 7 of 2003 ALCS against Tim Wakefield and the Red Sox. If he struck out, if he didn't hit that first pitch into left field, I mean, if it didn't happen, would we be talking about him? Would we? I mean, Aaron Boone? Brother of Brett Boone? Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, listen, it was probably one of my all-time favorite Yankee moments, even though it did not result in a championship, an ALCS championship, but they ultimately lost to the Marlins in the next series. But that was one of the all-time great moments in my lifetime, watching it, even with all the World Series wins, and I already talked about them, Brian, like you were an integral part of them. But that one part, I mean, it's something you obviously to hang your hat on, but does that make you deserving of managing the New York Yankees is basically what I'm trying to say in a long-winded way. So that'll be interesting going forward. I really wish I had like a actual like concrete yes or no about it. Managing is so like, you know, if they hired some fan for me, if they any of these, I don't know, just some random jackass, then if they hired Zach Hample, I have an issue. But outside of that, I don't know. I think Francesa should be the coach. I think he should. He's got a lot of, he talks about it. I mean, he talks about baseball all the time, just like us. Maybe we're eligible. Anyways, the other big news concerning the New York Yankees, which they're the only team that matters, just like the Clash, the only band that matters. You have, I do not know how to say the first name of this Japanese superstar, but the last name, Ohtani, who is sort of your Steve Nebraska hybrid, to a certain extent, who can throw 95 miles an hour and hit 500-foot home runs. You know, King Kong. King Kong doesn't use the stairs. What an awful, awful movie. He threw every pitch he threw in that World Series, his first game, World Series, game one, every pitch was a strike. Brendan Fraser, great, great, great job out of him. And then that, remember the last one knocked over the umpire and the catch, and he had to ask the umpire? And yeah, had to ask the catcher, what do you think? I think it was a strike, oh my God, a perfect game. So, what a terrible movie. I think I've seen it at least 35 times. But he has decided the New York Yankees, not interested. He is not interested in the New York Yankees. As you can tell, this guy's a fucking problem already. You know, he comes out, he sends out this like flyer to everyone like, hey, tell me, you know, make me a pitch why I'd be happy, you know, sitting and sitting in this your city as a member of the team to all 30 teams. Like, tell me why I'm so great. I need a complete back rub of emotions right now, and I need it from all 30 of you. Tell me how fucking wonderful I am. And the idea that he doesn't want to be on a team with an already, I don't know if it was a Japanese superstar or a Japanese player, but he wanted to be by himself in either the superstar or Japanese heritage realm. So that's what he required. You can already tell what kind of, listen, and you know what? He's got people in his ear telling him this is for marketing purposes. You know, you're going to want this. You like this. But it comes across as really shitty, really egotistical, and you can already tell it's going to be all about me. That's all it's going to be. So he told the New York Yankees, goodbye. I'm not interested. You are a big market team, and he wants to play on the West Coast. So goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I see Seattle. I mean, you hear some people saying, especially the Japanese market, Seattle and San Francisco are the two biggest Japanese markets in the entire country, I'd say. I have not done any research in regards to that, but I think I'm just going to go with that. But be interesting because the Giants are also considering Giancarlo Stanton too. So who the fuck knows? But this guy will only cost $3 million in the beginning. So, but you know what? He's not ready for New York. He's a pansy, and I hope his house burns down today. So he's done. I have no use for Mr. Ohtani ever again. And I'm not going to wish bad things. Well, I just wish his house burned down, but not any physical bad things. I hope he and his family are able to get out of the house. Long story short, I don't want anything bad. Speaking of people not wishing bad things, you know, a former guest here, Jeff Perlman, who I'll tell you, I like Jeff Perlman's books. They're great. You know, he's going back to Ben McAdoo for a second. I like him, his books, the Mets, and he was a great guest. He was very forthcoming. He was frank. Some of the questions I asked him, he was one of the first interviews I had on here. Some of the questions I asked him, if I ever asked like any of this, you know, some other guest, they'd be like, ah. Like I asked Perlman, like, who's the biggest asshole in sports you've ever met? He was without a beat. He's like, Will Clark, no problem. Absolutely. If I asked some of these other people, who's the biggest asshole in sports? They'd be like, oh, could you stop recording? So, but his Twitter game is absolutely horrendous. He's got level 5, you know, Trump derangement syndrome. He is a guy who cannot stop talking about Donald Trump. It's concerning. It's frankly, I'm a little concerned. But this is the exact tweet he had about Ben McAdoo. Now, whenever a coach gets fired or a manager gets fired and everyone wants him to, it's sort of just like, you know, V-Day. I mean, everyone is out in the streets. They're aggressively kissing women they don't know. That's the way it goes down. But Jeff Perlman, you know, he wants everyone to remember the little people. I literally had to get like past 10 tweets just in like the last hour or two of Trump tweets from Jeff Perlman to find the one in question. I know no one gives a shit, and Giants fans will celebrate the news, but Ben McAdoo is a guy with a life of family and feelings, and this is one of the worst days of his life, a public execution. Not saying he deserved to keep his job, I just don't like cheering an awful moment. You know, Jeff makes it seem in that tweet as if McAdoo has to forfeit all the money he's earned as a coach. His house will be foreclosed on. His family will be, you know, ripped away like the Gestapo during World War II or something. Holy Christ. It is sports. Don't try to play, you know, the nice guy, you know, holier than thou bullshit now. because you could find plenty of tweets from Mr. Perlman. Like, I hate when people get that soft. It's, and you know what it is? It's for Twitter praise. It's for the This Is Everything Twitter. They love that shit. They love it. But if it's someone else they don't like, well, you know, that's sports politics right there. Sports politics. Oh, Democrats did it. That's disgusting. Well, Republicans, oh, that's fine. Vice versa. It's the same thing. Same thing every day. Just a different genre of fucking life. That's all it is. That's all it is. Speaking of genres of life and politics, there is the completely unimportant vote coming up, and that is the Time Person of the Year. And again, I just want to stress how unimportant it is, but you have, let's look at the list. Okay, in no particular order, these are the people: Jeff Bezos, the chairman or CEO of Amazon, Donald Trump, the Me Too movement, Kim Jong-un, Xi Jinping, I apologize if that's incorrect, that is the president of China, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, I have no idea who that is, Colin Kaepernick, the Dreamers, Robert Mueller, and Patty Jenkins. Now, the idea that you don't know who the person of the year is laughable. If you're in, especially, we'll put it this way, if we're going to go by how people view in this country, we'll put it that way, the idea that it's not Donald Trump is absolutely, it's shocking to actually have a different opinion than that. And I'll tell you why. I know a lot of people like to think that the Time Person of the Year, again, this means shit in the long grand scheme of things. No one's going to go back. It's not like you're reading off a Hall of Fame resume and being like, oh yeah, what about Time Man of the Year? All right, come on, hey, geez, remember, you got to remember that. It's got to put that in the committee's mind. You got to remember that. It means nothing. But this is a man who has consumed, I don't care how into politics you are, I don't care if you are Jeff Perlman with Trump derangement syndrome, or if you are just a casual person. I'd say 9 to 9.5 people out of 10 end up uttering Donald Trump's name every single day. At least once. And I know some people, I think I said something similar on Twitter, someone responded, well, he is the president. You're absolutely right. Did you mention Obama's name every day? Did you mention, you know, George Bush's name every day? Now, granted, the lines of communication, the technology has evolved where, you know, we have our phones in our hands and Trump is boom, 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 boom. Maybe it would be the same if Bill Clinton, you know, during the Bill Clinton impeachment trials. But the idea that it would be anyone else, and I come from the school, and listen, we want to go back in history of Time Man of the Year, I will sit here and give you a fucking clinic, okay? But I always think it has nothing to do with good, bad, or indifferent. It has to be with, you know, the person that just consumes our lives. Like, I remember it was Time Man of the Year after 2001, you know, 9/11, it was Rudy Giuliani. But, I mean, the way people view Rudy Giuliani today and how they did in 2001, obviously that's very different, but I thought for sure it should have been Osama bin Laden. He orchestrated one of the biggest terror attacks against a superpower, and thousands of people died. And I know some people like to say, well, it's an award. You know, you don't win an award for committing genocide. Well, Hitler was the Man of the Year at one point, but I think that was before the Holocaust, I think. I'm not sure. I meant to do research on that. I remember that. But I find that to be interesting. I don't know. The whole Russia thing, I always thought from the beginning that there's not that there's nothing there, but they're never going to be able to link it to Trump. Maybe they will. I don't know. He seems to be more erratic lately with, I should sue David Ross because my stocks went down, according to the President of the United States. But it was something that happened a week or two ago that I didn't mention in the podcast, the last podcast, that made me like, this guy cannot control himself. He could not control himself whatsoever. When he had the Native Americans in the White House, I don't know what they were actually there for. It was some sort of award, you know, commemoration of a lifetime achievement, something like that. And obviously, you've probably all heard the clip. We'll play it real quick.
You were here long before any of us were here. Although we have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago. They call her Pocahontas. But you know what? I like you. Because you are special.
But my favorite part of it, and I know the one that everyone goes to is, you know, obviously Pocahontas. My favorite part there, he sounds like such a creep, like total, like corner the girl at the frat party, is afterwards when he says, I like you.
I like you because you are special.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's slow that down to get even more creepier. Let's slow that down.
But you know what? I like you.
That's my president. Oh, boy, that's my president. And I guess finally we'll end it with this also concerning Trump to a certain extent is people losing their shit on Twitter. in regards to chocolate milk being reintroduced to our diets. Or not our diets. I can go buy chocolate. Like I said last night, if I want to eat ice cream for dinner, I'll fucking do it. They're not reintroducing it to our diet. They are giving it to children in school. Because we know all children are mindless idiots who will eat garbage on the floor if we put it there, right? I don't think we're giving our kids enough credit, thinking, you know, I found lint on the ground and I ate it and I got a stomachache, but whatever. But chocolate milk is being reintroduced. I guess chocolate milk was taken out of public schools by the Obama administration, which, yeah, listen, it's probably the best. I'm sure it's probably not as healthy for you as normal milk. I'm not a doctor. I'm not Louis Pasteur with this either, so I'm not really exactly sure. But we'll just go with that premise for now. And people, listen, Donald Trump, there is, even if you're a supporter, there is like 100 things you could find to criticize the guy with. He's now publicly endorsing Roy Moore, a accused pedophile. Roy Moore was going to win this election anyway. Fucking thank you very much, Alabama. Jesus Christ. 70% think it's all fake news. Boy, talk about the simple-minded sycophants of Donald Trump. The state of Alabama. Give me that football, Forrest Gump. Yee! But what was that? Jesus. It's like saying y'all, huh? That's just one example of the things that you can criticize him with, but people are going at him with reintroducing chocolate milk. Talk about Trump derangement syndrome. Again, I said in this podcast, I think he's vomit. I think he's a bad guy. Is he going to kill my life? No. Is he going to ruin my life? No. Is he going to ruin most people's lives? No. But what about the long-term effects? Well, I'm not making this a fucking political podcast, but chocolate milk is what we're going to go with to criticize Donald Trump. I grew up with chocolate milk, burnt square toast. I ate Jack's. Those are cheap Cheetos for all you kids at home. And Snickers bars. And you know what? Look at me. I'm 30-something years old. I'm 37. I didn't forget. I was just saying 30-something. And I'm completely healthy. I didn't shrivel up and die from chocolate milk. I mean, it's Donald Trump, you are disgusting, you know? Remember the lunch ladies forcing me, shoving my face into the cup of chocolate milk and said, drink it. It's good for you, sniveling little bitch. Wow. I mean, they were tough. They were tough lunch ladies. And now the trend's going to continue. Donald Trump, you're disgusting. You make me sick. I think that's the podcast. Remember to leave a review. I mean, listen to everything. Think about everything you just listened to. Why would you not want to leave a review for that? Think about that. I just made your day better. Think about it. I'll wait. iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Google Play, YouTube. Remember to leave a review, especially iTunes, Stitcher. Keep those reviews going, man. I love it. I love it. I love it. Follow me on Twitter at BrianBuck13 and at RedTicketBlues. So with all that being said, I'm out of here.
As I flip it again, we're on to loose. Watch the set the trend for the 9-double-G. Check it. So the boogie to up jump, the boogie to the rhythm, to the boogie beat. Cause I freak it like this, like my homeboys dies. It ain't hard to tell, like my man Nas. Like Naughty, watch me give a hip hop a break. Much props to Dre, drinking Sangaray. I got Chief Rock, ya like the Lord. Or like Tribe, go on an award tour. Too slick like Rick, watch the youngsters bump. Cause this is how we're coming, like the future of the funk. Respect out the cute, chicken and really dope. And Snoop Doggy Dogg and the whole Death Row. Gangstar, Supreme C and Cypress. On the real, cause I'm keeping it right.
hip-hop ride. Move side to side, let your body glide. Knock, knock, it's hip-hop at your door. Giving you more for 94. Back with Melly Mel and Grandmaster Flash. People thought that hip-hop wouldn't last. The treacherous three, Africa, Bambaataa. Curtis Blow made hip-hop hotter. Slide to the rhythm, let your body jerk. Remember all the bass from my man Kool Herc. Stetson Sonic talking all that jazz. You know the songs of the past. I keep creeping, I'm